Let's just pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for these few moments we have here to lift up the name of Christ, but we ask that your spirit make it my thoughts be clear and that we can hear clearly. Amen. What you have to say. And thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I think when Hope gets up and speaks, I always think about Hope riding to Hope with Hope going from Long Island into New York City to drop that girl off in the Bronx and riding, and Hope was driving. I guess I was 15, wasn't allowed to drive. Well, I was glad to get my license. Remember that girl? What was her name? Was her name Rose?
Her name was Valerie Rivera.
There you go. We used to go right into the Bronx. We weren't allowed down there back then, but we'd ride right in there, wouldn't we? But she's true. It's these broken old bodies and whatever we have, you know. It's amazing, isn't it? And I'm going to do a little family history when I do this. My mom made this tabernacle years ago, and it's been sitting in a closet. And I can remember when she did these things, and she would explain some of it. So some of the stuff I'm going to say is from my mom. Some of it's from my dad. And even the sewing on here, right? You all know my mom loved to sew and do all that kind of stuff. So the reason I'm just going to do why I did it, while I got looking into it, I'm just going to talk to you like you're sitting in my living room. I'm going to be that relaxed this morning. And our goal is to what? See Christ. Amen. And if we see that, well, it's been accomplished, right? So in Numbers 16:35, I'm going to just read one thing. And there came out from the Lord a fire that consumed 250 men. Now, I shared on that a few weeks ago about that, but that's what got me looking at this tabernacle. Now, I don't know, this is you, all you great history people know in the Bible, I don't know if it was when the cloud was out or was the presence of God in there, did the fire come out of there, but it said the fire came from the Lord. So I got looking at, this is his dwelling place, right? This is where he was. And so I just started looking at this thing. If I stand here, can you hear me? Because I have to look at this. I'll do it just for the people who can't hear. And so I started looking at this in my back room. And I would circle it. I got it on a table and I'd circle it. And I just started looking at all the stuff. And I'm going, wow, Mom's got everything detailed. Well, there's a candlestick in there. Man, how much time do you want to spend talking about a candlestick? I thought, wow, we got I can't. What else is in there? And then we see she's got it marked. There's the showbread. What's the showbread? So then you can start looking at the showbread, right? And then you see the veil. And you got a veil. And as you all know, all the stuff about the veil. So I just keep looking around. And I thought about the people camped around it, how everybody was camped around it. And then I started looking at the Jenkins camp. You know what I mean? This camp. That camp. I can't think of your names right now, but I got you in my mind. And then who's, you know, over here. We're all camped around this tabernacle. And I started thinking, oh, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? So this old tabernacle, and one of the most amazing things to me was how they could take it down and then go somewhere else and put it back up. And it says it could be stable and not moved. Or taking apart and move it. Go build a building, you guys that build and do that. Build a building that's to take apart. So I was telling somebody this morning, last week, I'm building some stuff for people, and they wanted something extra built. And so I thought, how could I build it that I could take it down and move it if they want? I'm thinking like this. You know, I'm thinking, wow, they put all, and this is a lot of stuff. This is not what I build. These things are heavy. There's gold. There's all this stuff in it. So I built this thing out of screws. I screwed it all together. Well, the lady comes down. She hated it. I'm like, yeah. Right? They said, do you mind removing it? That's not exactly what we wanted at all. Even though the pictures match perfect. Right? But to her, it didn't suit. I said, yeah, it's no problem. They go, you're kidding. I go, no. I took it down. Took it all apart. It's going up in my yard. Right? Looks great. Right? But it was funny. I thought, well, there is a way of doing things, right, that makes it movable. So I'm looking, and I'm serious. I'm not even going to do it, but I would walk around it, and I look back in there. I went, what is that thing? Then we have, there's an altar in there, you know, and those kind of things. And then Mom has in there the Ark of the Covenant. And then you see those, how do you say it, cherubims, right? And a mercy seat. Amen. You got to be kidding me. And I'm thinking, us, we grew up with Charles Baker. And there was never any, I don't know how to say it, other than around my mom and dad, but peace in the house. When you walked in at times, we knew you couldn't even watch TV. Wasn't no radios allowed to go on. We knew it was time and Bible study was going on. And you could sit at my mom's table. You could walk in there anytime. That table would be full of her doing Bible studies and researching. And these kind of things would be sitting out. We'd walk right by them. Like nothing's up. And I think about those lessons we walked by. So I'm in here looking at this thing and I'm handling it. And if you think this is silly, that's fine. But I'm thinking, my mom touched this stuff. And my mom would tell you right now, don't talk about me. Talk about Christ. She used to tell us, I don't want to see Uncle John or Cousin Sally or I don't want to see nobody. I want to see Christ when I get to heaven.
Amen.
She never ever said, ever one time, did she ever say, I want to go meet. I can't wait to see Cousin whoever. I can't wait to see Christ.
Amen.
Right? And walk. So I'm thinking all this stuff walking around here. Look at all the lessons I was taught my whole life. Right? And I did whatever I wanted to do. I could care less. I didn't even care. Right? And there's that altar in there. There's that mercy seat. So then I come back out. I'm looking around the outsides of it. And there's old Phil Jenkins, his camp. There's Lex's camp over here. Then we have this camp. And they're all surrounding it. And they're all looking. And you're sharing Christ. You sit in here. What have we been doing this morning? You're sharing Christ. They've been sharing Christ. We're all encamped. Why? We're camped around this tabernacle. We're camped around this place. Right? And so then there's a way to get in. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty wild. Look at this tabernacle. Now, I got scriptures for everything I'm telling you. So I'm probably not going to quote them all, but I could if you want to. What did Hope say? If you want all the details, I'll tell you later. Right? And so I started looking at it. I'm just letting you be in my scattered head for a while. And so I start looking at the entrance to that thing. I'm going, well, that's pretty wild. What's right at the beginning of the entrance? The very first thing. Now, I know you guys all know this stuff. Right? But I'm going, wow. Yeah, right there in the beginning. The very entrance in. There's a sacrifice. And Mom's even got a little goat with some red blood drawn on it. You know, that's how detailed my mother was. And you start thinking about that. Mom would say, I want to see Jesus. I want to see his nail-scarred hands when I get there. She goes, don't let nobody fool you, Rick, on the level of earth. If they don't have a nail-scarred hand, they ain't Christ. And there's nobody walking on the level of earth that has a nail-scarred hand. She goes, he's standing there waiting on me like this. I can see my mom saying it to me. And the funny thing is that fire came out of there and consumed 250 men. I want to tell you a story about my mom. We had a cousin that was one mean man. I mean, I'm not even going to tell you how mean he was. You'd be shocked. And he'd come to the house and Mom had him out back cutting the lawn in Lewis. And the old house in Lewis on Railroad Avenue. And he's out there and he comes in. And Aunt Marianne, that lawnmower is whatever it is. And that thing is no good, right? And Mom said, go on out there. I'll call fire down. And that thing will start up. He goes out there and pulls it. And it catches on fire. And starts running. I like to exaggerate and say that thing's still running, right? But it ran. And this guy had no fear, but he feared my mom from that day on. Because she had the power to call fire down from God. And I thought that was funny because I'm thinking, he's thinking it. And Mom's like, can you believe it caught on fire? We always laughed about it. I said, Mom, don't call fire down on me. Don't call fire down on me, right? Right? Don't burn me up, Mom, right? And that's funny because Mom did have the power of the Spirit within her. She had that power. Might not have been a literal fire, but there was fire in my mom for the Lord Jesus. She would make these things in honor of Him, not to show that she could do something or show, oh, look at this, I want to teach you this. She wanted to teach you about that mercy seat all the way in the back. So then you go on, you keep looking at it, right? And you keep looking it over. I'm only going to do not all these cloths, but this cloth was the one made of the linen, and it's supposed to have the cherubim in it, and it goes on here. And when you would look up, this is what you would see inside the tabernacle, right? You'd see the cherubim above you. Mom would say, look up at all His mercies. Look it up at all He's done in our lives. Look it up. When you look up, you can see His mercy all around you. Handling the cloths my mom handled. I'm handling the same Christ my dad handled. I'm handling the same Lord. We get to share that with other people. Look up. Quit looking at all this nonsense. This is a deception. He wants you to see the cherubim. He wants you to look up and see Him. He wants you to see Him everywhere you are. That little piece of cloth, man, that's my mom. What do you see when you look up? I'm talking about me. These are questions I'm asking myself. What do I see? What do I see? I see His hand of mercy. I see all kinds of stuff He's done in my life. You know, we've all had tragedies. We all have had things happen. But we got to keep looking up to Him.
Amen.
We got to keep looking up. Keep looking up to Him. So I keep looking at it. Of course, there's a couple other ones. There's a goat skin. And then the outer skin that was on that to protect it from the weather and all that kind of stuff. You know, this one here is more of a, and I have the right name in the scripture for what it is. And that, but that was on there on the outer coating. And I'm looking, that's pretty wild. How it keeps weather out, how it keeps, you know, moisture out and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not kidding you. I'm just standing there, just what I'm doing right now. And I start looking at me. Wow. I have an outer skin that protects me. Wait a second. And then I start comparing it. I'm thinking, how in the world is, what is this an absolute picture of? You know, and you all probably knew all this. And I have inklings of it, but I didn't know. Right? And I keep looking at it. And I go, wait a minute. Because even here is a little entry. And here you get in to get into the showbread, to get into the candlesticks, to get into the altar of incense. There's a worship area in there. You know what I mean? I'm going, wow, there's a worship area. Then we get through that veil. Then we get into fellowship with Him. Right, and what's funny about that, some of them guys would go in, but they'd have a rope tied to their leg in case they did something wrong. God would kill them in there, or they would die, whatever, however you want, and he'd pull them out. I thought, that'd be cool, man, go somewhere, have a rope, because you know you're going to be in the presence of God. Tie my leg, I'm going in. I would do it. I would take a chance to be able to see Him face to face. I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. There we are. We got all that stuff going on. Here we are. We're camped around. Phil's talking again. You're sharing. They're all talking. We're all focusing on that tabernacle. It was the centerpiece. So I started looking at all those things. And then I started looking, well, how does that apply to Rick Baker today? How does that work? I really like it. I mean, I want to carry it with me. I want to let go to work and look at it. Keep. But in my mind, it is with me. Like I'm building that thing, like I told you, and I screwed it together. I'm thinking about this. Look at the detail. Even here, Mom stitched something together. That's my mom stitching, man. See, and to me, that's a big deal. He loves us that much. Dirty, rotten scoundrels. No good for nothing people. He wants to dwell in this old skin. And we can take all that stuff that happens to us, and we can take all those bad things that go on, and we can still share. Do you see His mercy? Do you see it? Do you see it? Look at Miss Hope's testimony here, right? People talking. And so I started looking, and then I found a scripture, and it says, the Word was made flesh, and He dwell among us. Well, there it is. There's my from an old tabernacle to now. Right? And I got it the other middle of the night, man. I've known that scripture my whole life. You know what I mean? But when I read it, I went, oh, that's how. So now, here He is. The Word has been made flesh. That showbread in there. Some people say it has to do with the Word of God, eating of the Word of God. I read different things. Now, you people know that all this better than me. If I have something wrong, you let me know. But had some people think that. Some do with the candlestick. Think it has to do with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm just saying things I've read, trying to figure out what all those things represent. And so I started looking at it and how he became flesh. And then I go, well, so big deal. You know, he's flesh. Now, where do I go to the next point? How do I get that, the Holy of Holies, how does it become part? Then it says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. So therefore, that power that was in that tabernacle, that exact same God, that exact same fire is now placed in us. I want you got to be kidding me. You're the creator of all wants to dwell. Now you think I just got saved this weekend, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? But that's how important it is to me. I'm going, now we get to see the power. People need to see the power of calmness today. This world is so confused. People this and that. And I'm talking to people, I go, wait a minute. They, well, you know, you're not upset. You're not worried. I was talking to four people the other day. I said, no, I'm not worried at all. My trust is not in this world. We trust in the Lord Jesus. And they all were like, what? You do what? You know? I said, we do. And I said, I'm not a testimony guy. That's not my thing. I just go do my stuff and I go home. And I start looking. He now dwells. That same fire that was in there that consumed 250 men. Those 250 men had a chance to change their mind because he did say to Moses, tell them to flee. All those that fleed weren't consumed. The ones that stayed were. We have a chance. We all have a... We can choose to choose them, or we can choose not to choose them. Still the same today, isn't it? You have a choice. Do you believe in that fire? Do you believe in the mercy seat? Do you believe that God... this? Because I don't know why I want to say this, but we were somewhere, me and Steve, and they're talking to us about we shouldn't talk about the Old Testament anymore.
What?
You should drop the Old Testament. And we're going, what? And then Steve gets up and gives a sermon on the Old Testament. And afterwards they said, well, I think maybe we need to rethink that. Right? And but it's the truth. And so I didn't have an argument for why we need to keep the Old Testament until now. I'll tell you why. This is absolute picture of Christ. I never saw it as that. And the other day I'm going, wait a minute, this is the Lord. Wow, I can handle him. I can present him to other people. I can hand him to your camp. I can hand him to my camp. You can hand him back to me. What's he doing in your camp? What's he doing over there? Right? And he's so presentable. And what's neat, there's the veil. That thing's gone. We now have what? Direct access to the Father. Can you believe that? That same guy that's sitting in that seat, that only one guy was allowed to get in there. For everybody else, he had to come back out. Now think about the Moses. They would come to Moses, ask God. And Moses would fall down on his face and say, God, what do I do? You have that same privilege, as you were saying this morning, to step up to that Father and say, where do I park? Where do I go today? Do I need to talk to that person, or do that person, are they all right? Do I need to pray for that person? What do I need to do? So I started looking at all those different things, right? I'm not quoting the scriptures to you. I got them. And I started looking at it. I love the part that he is in him and I am in you and all that. So there it is. There it is. Now we are the tabernacle. We now, and we become the tabernacle because of what? First, we come in through the door. What do? We accept Christ as our sacrifice. That's the first thing, man. It's that simple. We walk in. I'm walking in the tabernacle. Now, do I believe that he died on the cross for my sins? Do you believe he was the atonement for all sins of all time for every man? I mean, you know what I mean? Even for Jamie's sins, whatever they may be. Look at her looking at me like, don't you talk about me. Right? But just think about it. I think about my own life is what I think about. I was telling somebody yesterday, I can't even believe I was the guy I was. 20 years ago. I've been saved over 20 years now. I did things I can't even believe I did. I think about it. I did that? You know what I mean? Because you never thought about things being wrong. Mr. Greenlee one time come to me after I'd been saved a few years. And he said to me, he says, Rick, I never liked you. I never liked you at all. He said, your parents are the greatest people I know, but you are now my son. The Lord has changed you in such a way. He says, I just can't get enough of you. You're welcome at my house anytime. Now that wasn't because all of a sudden I just joined in here and started hanging out. Right? He saw that what? That same Christ had been placed in my heart. He saw it. And I'm going, wow, somebody sees it. Now I want to bring up Mr. Ed for a second. 20 years ago he was speaking and he says, you know how you're going to have recognize the change, how you're going to know that Christ is in your life? And his first one was the changes that start taking place in your life. And I went, wow, really? I'm in the back of Hoshua, sitting back there. I'm going, man, this guy must be talking to me. I'm trying to duck down, you know. You know, then you'll see changes in others. That's Christ working. It's been true to this day. It's a fact. So first off, and then what's he do? You believe in that? The next step is the laver where the priest would wash their hands. I'm just going to go right on with it. And then what does he do? You accept it. You are now cleansed. Here we go. Start walking through this thing. I'm walking through this tabernacle. I'm living this tabernacle. I go, wow, that's pretty cool. Now I go home at night. I go back around it. I'm going, what's tomorrow? What are you going to show me tomorrow? How much you care for me? When I walked away from this stuff and my parents were sharing it from me. When I told my dad he was an idiot. He cleansed me from all that. Amen. There's no guilt in it. I start going, wow, this is amazing. Right? Then we get, there's an entrance. When we get up here, there's another entrance. We get an entrance and we can get in here further. Get in here. Then we get into the showbread. We get into the Word. Then we get into the Holy Spirit teaching us. And we get into praising Him at that altar. Alone we can do this. It says where two or three are gathered in His name. Well, I have God. I have His Spirit. Right? I can be alone in my room and in my back room and I'm studying, I'm reading. I go, wow, this is an everyday thing. This works for today. This isn't just about the great hereafter. My dad would say to me, Rick, why are you waiting to get to heaven when you can have a piece of heaven now? He said, I don't mean just a piece of it, the peace of heaven. Amen. We lived it, haven't we? We've been right in it. Walk in there and go, whoa, man, this is different than outside. Check this out. You knew you were walking in the presence of the Lord. Wasn't no joke. Wasn't nobody in there screaming and hollering, jumping, blah, 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 do this, do that, do this. Wasn't a bunch of rituals. Let's be quiet. Sit before the Lord. That's right. Jackson's got it. All right? Let's sit and listen. He is in the silence. And what is the world? Noise, 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 noise. Sit before the Lord. Get quiet before Him. Get in there. Get the Spirit teaching you. Get into that showbread. Get into the listening to that. Get into looking in here. Just, I'll use another example. I'm throwing names at you today. When I was 15 years old, Stephen Kahn was at our house. And he would get, when he'd come to our house, he would get my room and I'd sleep on the sofa, which was great to me because I was 15 years old. I didn't care. And I was trying to get on his nerves one day. Trying to bug him about some questions. And I said, so what do you want me to do? Memorize the whole Bible? And if you all know him at all, just stand there. No, if you would just read 5 minutes a day or one verse, that's all you need. And the Holy Spirit, when need be, will draw upon it. How are you going to argue with a guy who talks to you like that? Well, I tried, you know, but he never gave in. And I didn't see him for over 20 years. And as soon as he saw me, he knew who I was. My roommate, he says. That's how he thought of me. Oh, man. The mercy that was in people because of the Christ in them. They didn't hold all that junk against me. They didn't hold all that stuff that I did against them. They never did, you know. And so then we see we enter in. So now we're in, and it says the holiness. And the holiness, if there's any holiness, it's because of the Christ in you. If there is any. Right? It's because of Christ. It's within you. And I see the holiness in there. And I like the prayer of the prayer of the, and I say, I put down there intercession because He's an intercession for us. We try to take it like, oh, I'm in here praying, dear Lord Jesus, you know, this, that, this, or whatever. He's already an intercession for
for you to the Father.
Because there's a place in there, a prayer of, I got it written wrong or something. But that's what it is. There's a place of prayer in there that they do. And so then we take it another step further. And we see that when we do that, we're praying, right? And it's giving us access. Now, we're entering in. We've been through an entrance. We've been set free. We've been washed. We've been cleansed. We're in there. We're looking through the Word. And we start praying for whoever. But more than likely, if you look at it, the Lord laid that person on your heart. That's the lesson, right? From dead. He would say, I'll be riding along, he would tell me, on the back roads. All of a sudden, somebody come to mind. That's when you start praying. You know, you start praying for people right when the Lord lays them on your heart. Right? Start doing that, right? And it's funny, I'm turning into my dad. It's crazy. I even saw myself in the window the other day and went, whoa! Thought I looked that much like him. I was like, oh, no. And then he gives us, he's intercession, and he gives us access to the Father. And I love that, because then in this room up here where only the priest could go, the Ark of the Covenant, they'd be in there and there's a mercy seat and all those things are going on, right? But that's the real fellowship. And we have access through what Christ did here, how he cleansed us here, how he shows us the Word, and then we're in there with him. We're in the Holy of Holies with God. Just think on that. Each one of those steps, take your head and just, like I would walk around and go, man, I got to get past the atonement part first. Wow, then there's a bowl he washed in? What? The priest did what? And I had to think on that. You know what I mean? I didn't just like, oh, wow, that's, you know. And then there they were. He washed you clean. And I'm thinking about myself. This is all for me. I might be sharing it with you, but I'm not going, well, Phil needs this or Phil needs that. No, you come. Phil's showing his Christ. You're showing your Christ. We're all pointing, what? At the tabernacle. We're all pointing at Christ. Every one of us this morning gave a testimony about what the Lord's doing. Right? You're all pointing to that tabernacle. You're all pointing about the fellowship you have with him. Right? And this is what we're no better. There's only one above us, and his name is Christ, than anybody. I don't care who you meet. When you meet them, I don't care if you don't like their lifestyle. Quit thinking you're better and start seeing if you can't make equal ground and let them enter into all this stuff. Right? Without being all, look, yeah, Rick, you know, my friends all know me. I didn't even have to go and tell people I accepted the Lord. He broke the chains in my life. Amen. And I still need some chains broken. There's still things in my life that need to be changed. But I like this. Looking up and seeing the mercy seat, I can see my mom right now. Do you see it, Ray? Can you see it? I see it. I see it. Walking in my life, I see it. I'm doing things. I'm involved. I see I'm not flipping off and losing my mind. I still can get mad. Ask my family. Right? But the rage is gone. And that's the best part. There's his mercy. People are standing there saying things to me. How do you know he's real? Because I'm just standing here. That's how I know. Man, you all don't even know. You don't even know. Amen. He lets us look in here. All right, let me make sure. I knew I wouldn't be real long. But I've enjoyed looking at this. Because I need help every day. Today is great. I need some help tomorrow morning, probably 10 o'clock. I mean, oh God, help me again. What am I doing here? You know what I mean? Where'd this thought come from? Where'd this come from? How'd this get in front of me right here? This is right up my alley. Where'd this, you know? And I was talking to somebody the other day, and I do need to share this. They were complaining, another believer, a good friend of mine, about how every time they were doing something, the devil was interfering, and they never, you know, it's always the devil, the devil, the devil. And I said, you're a believer, and I'm a believer. I said, we have to have this conversation. And I started sharing a little bit about this tabernacle. And now, everything hasn't always worked out right in my life since I've been a believer, right? And I said, but you give the enemy too much credit, right? Maybe you need to look at how merciful He is right today. And I had my hand up like that. And I said, let's just look to Him. Look, you got your place is good now. Your bills are paid. You're eating. Maybe it's not the perfect scenario of the house that you want. Sometimes it's about what we need, not about what I want.
Amen.
And I explained it, and they said, wow. Right? You got to be kidding. I never thought of it like that. And I go, that's it. Quit giving them a place. In your life, quit giving them a place, because the King is in your heart. The enemy ain't in here. There might be stuff going on, but you can walk through that because you have the power and the fire in your heart because of Christ. That we can walk through this stuff and still be calm. I'm not flipping out. I'm not saying not be cautious about things. I'm not saying beware of certain issues that pop up. I'm not saying, you know, because there's some things I look at and I go, woo, man, you know. Especially people driving, how they drive their cars. Had to pick on Kevin. And just different stuff like that. And they told me. They called me 2 days later and thanked me that I said that. Right? And I said, because it's all about Him. You're no longer a child of the enemy. You're a child of the King. He resides. The mercy seats are in place. You have been cleansed. You've been washed. You're in fellowship with Him. Forget the nonsense. The veil's been broken. You're dealing with the Father. So that little tabernacle, through looking at my mom, I'm almost done. I got a bunch more, but we'll just go with that. And do you see Christ in it? You see how He is in your heart? All those steps are exact same thing. They're exact same thing. Are you in fellowship with Him? Or you just come here and hang out? I'm not saying, like, Paul would have us here probably 8 o'clock in the morning. I could pick on you, right? Right? But that's not, you know what I mean? Paul would have us singing early. We'd be all in here all day probably. He'd be one of them kind of guys. Sorry, Paul. Right? But it doesn't matter. I'm up 2 to 4 in the morning. Do I think you all need to get up then? No. Right? But are you spending any time? Read one scripture a day. Just one. You know why Stephen Kong said that? Because it's going to turn into 10. It's going to turn into 15 minutes. Because He's going to draw you in. How right He was. Someday I'm going to see Him. He's still alive, isn't he?
105.
Good Lord. I was saying 103 yesterday. Isn't that amazing? All right, I'm about done. Yeah. And a thing about us, we're of course, you understand. I got my sister and Jamie. I guess she's my niece. We really had a great time in the last year or so before Mom and Dad passed at the house. It was not a sad time at all. It was the opposite. It was one of those uplifting things. So when they first went, we're kind of like, ah, man, you know, thinking about the peace and the calm. It's still there. Because He's in us. Right? And I always did. But I hid behind Mom. I think I'm here today because I was covered by Mom and Dad. If that's true or not, I don't know. But I do believe that. Because I was in places that I should have never come out of. In situations. One time my dad called me. He says, don't go to that place this weekend. He named it. And I go, what place is that, Dad? I'm not going nowhere. He says, I'm telling you, don't go. He would call me. Out of nowhere, say stuff like that. My dad never would call you and tell you much stuff. He didn't talk to you about what you needed to do because he felt you knew what you needed to do. And we would do that. We'd rely on Dad. We relied on Mom and the presence, right? Isn't it neat that we can share what they shared with us? That Mom made that. And as Ed said last week, he wouldn't give that old piece of thing up that you got from Gus. You couldn't buy that from me either. You couldn't get this from me? You'd have to fight me, Miss Hope. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. Right? You know, it's a little ragged. But there's Mom on it. What is she saying? Look to Christ. Seek Him. He's in us. He is in him and I am in you. Wow, wow. The King of Kings wants to live within inside Rick Baker. So we can share his peace and calm in a time when things aren't peace and calmful. Even in your own personal lives, we have conflicts. We have things happening. You know, you going to the hospital and having your operations, and peace and calm in your life, though. You can see it on your face. Look at you. You look good. You know, that's the Christ coming out of you. And that's amazing. He wants to dwell in this old piece of skin. Huh, Miss Greenlee? He's with us, isn't he? All your hugs over the years. Stuff I don't deserve. I thank you people for taking me in, man. You don't know how important it is. I think I'm done. Know that he cleansed you. Know he saved you. Know he is the door. Every one of those things he is. He's the holiness. He's an intercessor prayer for you. Right? He is access to the Father. And we are in fellowship with him. That's true then. It's true today. It's funny how he didn't change over time, did he? This message was true in the tabernacle, way back in the desert, wherever they were. It's true today in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that we could gather here this morning and lift up the name of Christ. And we thank you that for parents that directed us in the right way. We thank you for family, Lord. And we can share the same peace, Lord, that comes from you. And may we be able to be a light to the world. We thank you. In Christ's name. Amen. Amen.